Hi, everybody. I'm Traven Rice. I'm the co-founder and arts and culture editor of The Lowdown, and this is The Lowdown Culture Cast. And I'm really excited today to be talking with one of the co-founders of the Lower East Side Film Festival. The Lowdown has been a big fan of the Lower East Side Film Festival since its inception. And full disclosure, I'm also a filmmaker. I love and adore this film festival, and am on the board as well, because I think what you guys do is so wonderful.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming. I'm with co-founder Roxy Hunt, and the Lower East Side Film Festival was founded in 2011. So this is year 14 coming up.
And yes.
Yeah, no small feat. It was founded in a storefront here on the Lower East Side, and we, I don't know how we stumbled upon it, but we did.
And for it, better or for worse, you did.
And it was literally a little storefront, a small space, and it was, you know, pretty chill. And, you know, you were serving popcorn, and I think you were, like, maybe pouring some whiskey.
Absolutely. We were pouring Evan Williams into paper cups, I think.
Which was wonderful, and was sort of relaxed, and then the screenings were just really whimsical and very fun programming, and you guys found all these really interesting venues, and they were never sort of what you would consider your traditional movie theater space back then. And then at the same time, you had these really fun events too. So you were immediately building community and really paying attention to the neighborhood and where you were. Mm. So how did it start and why in the Lower East Side?
Good question. I mean, first of all, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for always being a fan of LAS Film Festival. Yeah, it was our luck that you stumbled into the storefront back then. You know, we, my fellow co-founders, Damon Cardasis and Shannon Walker, had made a feature mockumentary years and years ago for very, very little budget. I think it was something like $10,000 or something, and they were really having trouble getting it into the festival circuit. And, you know, there just wasn't really a space for really, really like micro budget films back then. And they, you know, we were collaborating on things, and they had access to this storefront space, 139 Norfolk Street, right over there. And, the person who owned the space, you know, was doing this sort of monthly pop-up thing where someone could rent the storefront every month and do something, you know, in the creative arts in some way. I think it had been a wedding chapel. I think it had been, an interactive dinner party, things like that. And so we had access to this space and said, okay, what can we do for a month? And so, yeah, the very first year of Lower East Side Film Festival was a month long. And I think we had 30 folding chairs and a pull-down projector screen, popcorn maker, whiskey bottle, and we took submissions, and the premise was that everything needed to be made for very, very low budget to kind of carve out that space for those micro budget films. And we had a really, really great, you know, reaction from the community the first year. And we sold out every single night, and I think we added a couple nights, and we just kind of kept it going. And one thing that was very random that happened was a filmmaker came to see some one of his friend's films. He came up to us at the end of the screening and said, that was really fun. You know, I have a movie. Can I show it? And we said, well, that's not really how it works, but this is pretty relaxed. You know, there's a whiskey bottle over there. So yeah, what do you mean? What's your film? And he was like, oh, I made this movie Catfish. And it was Neve Schulman, and, you know, no one knew what that was yet. It had just had its premiere at Sundance, and we were like, sure. And I think that helped kind of put us a little bit on the map of those micro budget features that really make a big impact. And, you know, of course, now Catfish has years later become a show on MTV and all that stuff. And all those filmmakers have had some great success. So we felt honored to sort of play a role in that journey of theirs. And I think that combined with just the fun atmosphere of bringing people into a weird space and showing them some, you know, films they would never see any other way. Like, that was really, really kind of the heart of it. And I think we've always really tried to hold on to that, even though we've grown and been in, you know, bigger theaters and have actual sponsors instead of just buying whiskey at the liquor store and things like that. But yeah, you know, we just kind of kept, tried to stay true to that original kind of mantra.
Yeah. And what, I mean, was there an initial idea for the Lower East Side, or was it more the space that drew you?
Honestly, we kind of got lucky with the space. You know, no offense to other neighborhoods, like, but luckily our storefront wasn't in Murray Hill or somewhere like that. And I was fairly new to living in New York, and I didn't really even know that much about the neighborhood, and I was so grateful to have a cool place where people could come and we could kind of create this community. And it just grew from there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it was so whimsical too, though, these events that you had, you were very creative and still are about those.
Yeah. We always wanted to make things, someone once kind of, I forget who, but in the press somewhere, someone said kind of like, that LES Film Festival sucker punched its way into the Lower East Side. And that was one of my favorite things anyone's ever said about us, because it felt very, you know, authentic to what we were trying to do, which was create stuff that goes beyond just a traditional screening. So, you know, I've been to other festivals before where, you know, they're great, but the experience kind of stops once the movie stops. And we never wanted to, you know, be limited in that way. We wanted to create events and screenings that are unexpected in unexpected venues with unexpected interactive performances or, you know, funny things that we can kind of make the event more than just a screening. And we've done that in a lot of different ways and done, you know, drive-in movie theaters in a parking lot that was around the corner here, and we brought in, you know, Mini Cooper convertibles because nobody in New York has a car, so we made the cars appear, and, you know, things like that, or a pool party with a screen, or, you know, live comedy shows, or interactive performances, like, you know, people coming up to audience members, and just like installations of different kinds too, so people can experience lots of different kinds of creativity from lots of different, you know, filmmakers and artists.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always a really fun time to go and experience it. And I'm just so impressed with the community and how you've grown it and how things have evolved. And how did you, you always get really interesting and wonderful jurors to take a look and to decide on the films. How did you start finding such interesting people?
I mean, you know, I think we get lucky. New York is full of so many amazing artists and filmmakers, and, you know, they don't always have to be huge names, but there have been a lot of really well-known folks who I think, I'm not sure why, but their interest was piqued by being a jury member. And, you know, we've had a lot of big names, and that really helps kind of lift up a lot of the filmmakers who maybe this is their first feature, or maybe this is their first short, because it helps, you know, other people kind of go, wait, you've got, you know, Ethan Hawke is a jury member. Well, if he's going to watch this, then I want to come too. And I think that that's, you know, it's always folks too that understand our mission, I think, and just really appreciate independent film, like truly, truly micro budget independent film. And that's, we've just been super grateful for a lot of the jury members over the years that, like I said, just kind of help lift up the whole program and get people excited.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of your favorite, I know that Catfish was one, what are some of your other favorite stories of, like, films that really represent sort of that mission that you're talking about?
That's a good question. We had, I remember a couple years back, we had a documentary about women who do what's called like mermaiding, or they are mermaids, I guess. And it followed the stories of a few different women, kind of leading up to the, every year Coney Island has a massive Coney Island mermaid parade. If you don't know about that, you should definitely check it out. And the film, like, we just got really lucky with our, the dates of our festivals right around the same time as the Coney Island mermaid parade. So when we screened that film, we had mermaids coming out for the screening. There was people on, you know, on our step and repeat in mermaid costumes, like on stilts, like, you know, on the floor. Like it was that kind of thing where it's like, if you came, you like remembered that. And also weirdly, people on stilts have made a lot of appearances at the film festival over the years. But something like that was great because it says a story that of these women who, you know, you might not normally see it, and the filmmaking was really amazing and really, really great storytelling. And we were so excited that these mermaids could come out and kind of make the screening that much more impactful. We also have done a lot of funny, like, retrospective screenings over the years. I'm always just a fan of like nostalgia and stuff. So I like to pick, movies that have, you know, 25th anniversary, 30th anniversary films, that I just remember from when I was a kid, and, ones that don't normally get their day of having a retrospective. So a couple years ago we did, the 25th anniversary of, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, which obviously by no means is a micro-budget film, but it was just felt funny to do a Christmas movie in the summertime. And we had, I believe is the actor that played Buzz, Devin Rattray, I believe, came out. We had some Santa Clauses, some Santa drag queens and an elf drag queen performing. And, you know, in that film, I don't know if you remember, but there's a scene actually Trump unfortunately appears in, and we knew that was coming. So we primed everyone with like toy tarantulas with like these tiny orange wigs that we glued on to the tarantulas. Everyone in the audience got one. And when he came on screen, everyone just like chucked him at the screen and booed. And I mean, this was also happening. The screening started at midnight, so it was a vibe. And I think we ordered a bunch of pizzas and passed the boxes down the aisles, you know, almost like when you're going to church and putting in the into the donation bin. We're just passing along pizza, and it was just really fun and community, like, you know, just this weird thing that, again, if you were there, you would remember. Mm-hmm. So I think that's always kind of the vibe, is just create like strange experiences that feel uniquely New York and also unique to us.
I think that's so great. I think, I mean, and I mean this as a compliment, that like, it's unusual to find a festival that doesn't take itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. And to really have fun and sort of think about, I feel like it's like, you know, a tribute to moviegoers and people that love watching films. Mm-hmm. And not just a certain type of film, like people who just love,
totally,
you know, any kind of like pop culture film or any kind of, you know, yeah, quirky, fun story, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, we always say that the festival is as much as it is for the filmmakers as it is for the audience. And we want, if you're an audience member, you don't have to be a film aficionado. You don't have to know everything. You just want to, you live in New York and you want a fun night, and we want to give that to you. And on the flip side, as a filmmaker, we also want and really pride ourselves on trying to make that experience unique too, and not just, you know, having you get lost in a sea of other films and navigating a festival that you've never been to and not feeling like it has a personal touch. You know, I mean, I literally like interact with every single filmmaker, every year if I can. And, I feel like we've created a lot of really great relationships with filmmakers over the years. They come back, they submit again, or they tell us about what their next project is. And it really feels like a lot of community there and a lot of loyalty that we're like so grateful that people, you know, can take away from the festival.
Yeah. And I remember I just think what you do with short films, the groupings are pretty wild and pretty special.
Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of the way that you
group short films? Yeah. I mean, you know, again, like, it's hard sometimes, like, I don't know how other festivals work. I only know how ours works. And one thing that really, really works for us is, for shorts, you know, it's really, if you're just like an average person and you're showing up and you're going to shorts program one, you have no idea what to expect. And you have to take a big leap of faith to trust that festival that this is going to be a good time. So we try to make it easier for people by giving the short showcases like a real solid theme. Like Mindfuck Night is probably one of our most popular themes that's appeared over the years. We have a Mindfuck Night this year where you kind of just know, okay, it's going to be like some films that are going to fuck with your mind, you know, make you think or, you know, whatever.
I'm an alum.
Oh yeah. There you go. And you know, or we'll do things like we have one this year called Sexual Tension Shorts. And it's like, you can kind of just glean from that, okay, I'm going to get something funny, sexy, steamy, you know, who knows, it's going to be a mix, but you know, it's a lot more, enticing potentially than program B or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, that's definitely been something we really, really get excited about. And then kind of trying to, those themes always come up too, just in the programming. Our programming team will start to see, hey, we're really getting a lot of shorts that kind of feel like this theme, and, crafting each of those each year is really, really fun, and getting to kind of see what filmmakers are doing that like what, you know, not that they're trends necessarily, but like, I will say for some reason this year, we got like an overwhelming amount of shorts dealing with impending parenthood or new parents. And as a impending parent myself, it felt like I was like, is this what, like, are these being made for me? You know, but I do think honestly, like a lot of, our filmmaking community are millennials who are facing like, should I become a parent or should I not? Or what is this journey like? Or now that I'm a new parent, does that change me as an artist, as a creative, all those kinds of questions definitely came out in a lot of submissions this year, which was really interesting. So we kind of take those sort of emerging things into account.
Mm-hmm. Whatever's in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How do you, before we sign off, I was just curious to hear how you feel about the state of independent film after 14 years of sort of being up close and personal and meeting so many low budget, truly independent filmmakers from at different, you know, stages in their careers. I mean, you hear different things, but it's just been up and down as far as the industry goes.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you feeling about it all?
I want to remain optimistic. I mean, you know, the industry is in a weird spot, I think, you know, with like just where independent film is at, where like all the streamers and distribution platforms and things like that are at, is really hard to navigate for filmmakers, and for our business too. And I think, I don't know, I think the thing just that I always try to keep in mind is like, you know, industry is going to ebb and flow and change and all that kind of stuff. And I think the thing that's definitely come through with the film festival each year is that there's just some really, really passionate storytellers out there. And I really just hope that in general, the industry doesn't give up on them. And I don't want to give up on them because, you know, we can make a million sequels and prequels and remakes and things that are going to feel like sure bets or whatever. And maybe those ones are the ones getting the funding and things like that right now. But, you know, people are going to get tired of that. And we've seen it happen before. And, you know, there's still so many really, really great stories out there that we haven't seen, that are so unique, that are so strange and interesting. And, you know, in ways that we haven't seen before. And that's always like a joy every year of seeing what comes through the festival, of people just being really, really creative and not necessarily needing a lot of money to do that. And again, that's kind of the ethos of the festival, is like creativity over dollars. And of course you need dollars to do things. I get that. But I think sometimes when you're limited in budget too, that almost forces a different kind of creativity. And we see that every year with the festival. I mean, for sure. So I feel like it's like, you know, make your Marvel movies, whatever, but we're gonna place our bets on, like, you know, the really, really unique and passionate storytellers.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And so you just recently announced your lineup for this mm-hmm. upcoming festival, which is May 2nd through the 6th. What are you excited about? Any teasers?
Yeah, I mean, so many great shorts, obviously. Our opening night feature, so excited about a filmmaker. Her name's Caroline Lindy, and she actually had a couple shorts in the festival in years past, one of which was called Your Monster. And I remember back then, we, you know, however many years ago that was, we talked about, and she said she wants to adapt it into a feature. And she did it, you know, and she did it really, really well and really amazing, and got some big cast attached. It stars Melissa Barrera and Tommy Dewey. And it's just got everything. I mean, it's really fun. It's like, it's in New York. There's musical theater elements, there's comedy, there's horror. Like, it's just kind of like this really, really fun ride. And, you know, again, like, using creativity in a way that it just feels fresh and feels really unique, and it's just fun to watch. So we're super excited. That's our opening night feature, Your Monster, on Thursday, May 2nd.
I'll be there. Yes, we're super excited as well. So check out Lower East Side Film Festival. And
we're so proud and honored to have Lowdown involved in our filmmaker reception this year. Our filmmaker reception's Friday, May 3rd, hosted at Grey Lady, which is just around here on... I always mix up if it's on Delancey. Yeah. You'd think after 14 years I would know all the streets, but I still get confused. but yeah, that's just a really fun event for all the filmmakers that are part of the festival this year to come. And we invite alumni from years past. We invite the Stay Indie Project participants. And then, yeah, general public is welcome to grab a ticket too. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's going to be really fun.
Oh, we are too. Yes, we're going to be there helping host. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for coming by. Good luck with all the festivals.
Thanks for having me.
Hope it keeps going strong for 14 more years.
Oof, yeah. Well, 1 year at a time.